Okay, so we left off yesterday. I think Dr. Harris asked the question that it said to give it to the Edom, the Shtar Kedushin. They might not testify. They might be testifying not by what they remember, but what might they see. And it says in PMB, like some of them, they can't testify from written word. So the question was asked that a star.
The name's written.
Okay, you can testify what you saw on the star. That's type of discussion. I'm going to start the Mishnah, but I'm on the Flamin Album and Base, but I'm trying to answer yesterday's question that was asked at the end of the day. I said I'd get back about it. The Tysus answers that if they come in and they say they saw on the star, that this was the date of the Kedushin, we would accept it. That would not be considered testifying the peaks of them. Because that's the basis of a star. A star is considered like it was investigated in Bezen, and therefore testifying about a star is like testifying you heard something in Bezen. What we're afraid is they'll come in and they'll say that the Kedushin took place on that day, as if they remember. And really, they didn't remember, only by the Ksav. But they walked in and they said, listen, we don't remember. The star says this, that would have been fine. But they have to say, they're saying what it says in the star. But if they're testifying as if they know, and they don't really remember, it's only because they saw it in the star, and they don't say they saw it in the star, that would be considered the peaks of them. Because they're saying their own testimony, not saying that the star says it. They're saying their own testimony, and they didn't really know it. They only knew it from notes, and that's not good enough. That's what Tyson speaks at. That answers your question. Because theoretically, if the Adam took the star, and even if they ever forgot the whole thing, but all they did is said, Rabbi Tzai, the star says, that would have been very validated. Saying what a star says is not considered to be of them. Because the star has the strength as if Bezen passed it. And therefore, it's like saying Bezen said. But if they don't say that, they say it as if they know it on their own. And really, they didn't know it on their own. That's in the peaks of them. That's the fear. Okay. We are the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph from the Beis. Dr. Hever, the Mishnah. Gimu Achim, Nesuin Gimu Nachrias. Three brothers married to three non-related women. No shaychus to each other. Except now they're married to three brothers. Umezechot, ma'am. One of the brothers died. Okay? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi married to three women who are not related to each other beforehand. And Reuven died. And now Shimon made a mimer, Umeis, and then Shimon died. Reuven died, Shimon made a mimer, then Shimon died. Now Levi has Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife. But since Shimon made a mimer, rabbinically, Reuven's wife had been attached to Shimon already. And therefore, Reuven's wife is falling from two houses, so to speak. Not biblically, but rabbinically, right? She's coming from Reuven's house, who is her husband, and she's coming from Shimon's house, who had made a mimer, which has no biblical value, but has rabbinic value. And therefore, it looks like this lady, Mrs. Reuven, is also Mrs. Shimon, and is coming from two houses. Now, had Shimon done Yibum, she would have not been Mrs. Reuven anymore. But Shimon didn't do Yibum. He only did Mimer. Had he not done Mimer, she would have been only Mrs. Reuven. But the fact that he did Mimer made it partially Mrs. Shimon, rabbinically. So rabbinically now, it looks like she's coming from two houses. And a woman that comes from two houses is not eligible for Yibum. So therefore, she can't have Yibum. And therefore, Shimon's other wives can't have Yibum because she's a tzara to this one who can't have Yibum. This is all rabbinic. Biblically, they both need chalitza. Reuven's wife, because she's Reuven's wife. And Shimon's wife, because she's Shimon's wife. Reuven's wife is not Shimon's wife, biblically. But since with the Rabbanon there was a connection, they asked Yibum, and once they asked Yibum in the whole thing. Karelu chotzen for the Shabbos. Shinamar. One brother dies, her Yavama, her brother-in-law, can live with her. If she's falling from one. Now, even though we bring a pasuk, It is biblically impossible. You can only be married to one husband. Biblically, it's impossible to fall from two houses. But it's a smachta. We see in the pasuk a hint of the Rabbanon that anything that looks like falling from two houses should not get Yibam. But biblically, it's not possible. It's either Reuven's wife or Shimon's wife. She can't be partially one and partially the other, biblically.
Why can't you cleave to her and marry the other one?
Because once she can't have Yibam, right? Once she can't Yibam, the Gemara is going to go through it. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara will take care of it. Reb Shimon Eimer, Miyabim Leizish, Yirtze B'chaylitz L'Shliya. Reb Shimon says, either Mimer is biblical or it's nothing. If Shimon holds, the Mimer is not at part. If Mimer works, she's Shimon's wife. If Mimer doesn't work, she's Reuben's wife. There's no partial, looks like, nothing like that. If Shimon's opinion is that Mimer is either all or nothing. And therefore he says, it can be Miyabim, one of the two, right? And then give the other one Chalitza, because maybe Mimer doesn't work. Maybe Mimer does work. If Mimer works, can't be Miyabim because can't be Miyabim two from one house. This is Reb Shimon's opinion. We had Reb Shimon back in Dr. Seth. I think it was your test. But since then, we haven't had him. I think it was your test, yes. Your test.
We
had Reb Shimon on your test. We mentioned that Reb Shimon, but we never met him since then.
What did he say there?
Same thing. Either it works or it doesn't work.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm not quite clear about why a pasuk would relate to a biblical invention like a mimer. Did you say it's an asmachta?
There is a concept called asmachta, where, I'll be very honest, that I'm going to tell you what I know, but it's not going to be 100% answer to your question. There's a thing called a drasha. When we take a pasuk, and we say it's biblically telling us this point and that point, and we dash in the pasuk to tell us biblical law. There are times that we say that the pasuk doesn't mean exactly to dash, and it doesn't have the strength of a drasha, but it is a hint to the rabbis that they should approach something in their world, in the rabbinic world, a certain way. That is called an asmachta, a hint. The Torah hinted that biblically, it's impossible for a woman to be married partially to one and partially to the other. So it's impossible that the Torah excluded a case, which is impossible. And therefore, it can't be that the pasuk is saying she can't come from two houses, because you never have a case of a woman coming from two houses. She's either married to one or to the other. She's not married to both. But rabbinically, there is such a thing. And since the Torah expressed the concept of umeis echad mehem, so the Rabbanan saw it as a hint that whenever there is a look of two houses, we shouldn't allow Yibum. It's not a drasha from the pasuk because it's an impossible case. You can't have a drasha for an impossible case. It's impossible biblically. Either married to one or to the other. But it's a hint to the Rabbanan that if they ever come across a rabbinic case of where it looks like two houses, they should make a rabbinic injunction or rabbinic prohibition of Yibum. It can't be biblical because it's not possible biblically.
What is the power of the asmachta? If your rabbi holds by this asmachta, do you have to? Are you free to pick it up or lay it down? What is the power of this hint?
Power of an asmachta is the power of every rabbinic law. Whatever rabbinic power for every rabbinic law is, asmachta is just a hint to the rabbinic law.
Okay.
Now, there is a Ritvan Rosh Hashanah that says that asmachtas were placed there for the Rabbanim to recognize it. It's not that they made the rabbinic law and then looked around where they can find the hint in the pasuk. It's that they saw in the pasuk that this is the approach that should be taken if it ever comes up. Meaning it's there for the taking, the hint. But the power of it is no stronger than any other rabbinic law.
If that rabbinic law exists,
it would be an argument whether we accept that asmachta or we don't accept that asmachta. not halacha l'maisa mitzina. It's totally rabbinic. It's not biblical. And this is what I said, I can't explain. I never understood how sometimes we use a pasuk for a drasha, and sometimes we use a pasuk and say it's not a real drasha, it's an asmachta. Now this happens to be an easy case, because it's impossible to say it's a drasha, because the case doesn't exist. This happens to be an easy case of why it's not a drasha. The Torah wouldn't tell me a drasha about an impossible case. So therefore, obviously, it can't be a drasha. That's easy, but many times we have, when the Gemara uses a pasuk as an asmachta, where it could have been a drasha. And I don't know, lack of me, when it becomes a drasha and when it becomes asmachta, except what the Gemara tells me.
Why isn't the Narusha considered two houses?
She's not. She's married to one man. She's a major fish.
She's still parsing her father.
No, she's not married to him.
She's not married to her dead husband
anymore. Yes, she is. Well, she's an HSS. She's a Mizana. She's Chayav Skila. Monetarily, her father still has rights over her. If she's a Nara.
I'm saying in this case, her husband's dead. She's not married anymore either.
She came from his house. She didn't come from anywhere else. Her Yibum comes from one house. Her Yibum is not coming from her father. Rashi. Zikishne Yibamim. Who calls Manshle Kantazem, as long as he didn't do Yibam. Adayin Zikas Rishanale. The first one, Zika, is still there. When the Taisus Alum Zikas Mamarai. And the Mimer is added, Harak Shemezeh, Noiswa La Zikishneya. It's as if she was bound, she's coming from two. Yilu Nithis, Yilu Kantza, had he done Yibam, have a Paka Zika to come up. Ruben Zik. Bound would have gone off. She would have no longer been Mrs. Ruben. And when Shimon died, she would be Mrs. Shimon. Inami loyavet b'maimer. Ruben died and Shimon did nothing. But how about lozikas rishon? She's falling from Ruben. The yabim lezis yirta. Because the tiny time of the perik sheni, like Reb Shimon explained himself, and we had that back on daf yutes, the brisa. Imamor esheni maimer esheni hilbayom. If Shimon says either Mimer is biblical or it's nothing. If it's a Mimer, then he's living with Shimon's wife. Mimer, she's not coming from both. She's either Reuben's wife or she's Shimon's wife. She's not a partial. There's no partial here. Can I just finish the rush? The Chaylitz Lishniya. The Chaylitz Mifter would be a Dida. He can't just do Yibim to one. Doma Mimer Loikani. Maybe Mimer is not Chayna. Babalu Beis Yivamas Abbas Beis Batim. So then he has Reuben's wife and Shimon's wife. He has to take care of both. But he can't do Yibum to both because they were Mimer Kani. Because maybe Mimer works. They're both Shimon's wives. So he can't do Yibum to both. He can't do Yibum to just one. They have to do Yibum to one and Chalitza to the other.
And the Chalitza is rabbinic?
No, biblical. Going to Shimon?
To Suffolk.
To Suffolk, correct. That's not rabbinic. The rice is Suffolk. Yes.
To explain that he means the second one.
What?
With the Brisa there said that when we say he does one of them, he does the second one only.
Right, because why can't he do the first one?
She could be anxious. Yeah, but that was Shleya Bilal.
No, that was different. That was different.
Talking about Shleya Bilal.
Right. Right. Yes, Rabbi Shet. I can't, I'm sorry if you don't mind speaking up. But I have a mask, I don't hear as well. That's what it seems to be. If Shimon seems to say, that's what it says. I mean, those were the words said.
Is there a drasha we make out of the word
Abbas? Which word?
Do you have any drasha on record for the race
that you made? Not that I know of, but that means very little. Who is? Forget about it. Forget about it. He's talking about something else. No, Rabbi Schutz pointed out. Again, Rabbi Shimon is saying it's either like Beis Shammai or it's nothing. That's what Rabbi Schutz pointed out.
I don't know.
No, he's not coming from Beis Shammai. something in my writer.
Then a Rebbe was saying there's a difference in order?
No, forget it. I don't know why you're harping this. He backtracked. He made a mistake.
Why did you give him credit then?
I didn't. He made a mistake. He backtracked.
I know, but it's a different price.
Yeah.
What?
That's exactly what do you want me to do? So we go back there. These zikas beis yivamim deraisa chalitza nami lo tiboi. Now the Gemara understood the Mishnah that it's a drasha. That means obviously this is a possible case that a woman should be bound to two houses. How that case would work, we'll have to figure it out. But if it's biblical, then once there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. That's the rule in biblical law, except for one exception. We said every woman that has no yibum biblically has no chalitza. There is no chalitza without yibum biblically, except in one case. If this is a real drasha that says that a woman bound to two houses can't have yibum, then she shouldn't need chalitza. And the Mishnah says she does need chalitza. Dr. Gemara, elamid rabbanon. It's really rabbinic. Ugzeira, what are we worried about? What does that mean? What are we worried about? Why did Rabbanim make this rule? They had this. Why did they make this? What does it bother them if she's partially Reuven and partially Shimon? Biblically, she's Reuven, so let her have Yibum. Why are we making this Isser of Yibum? Zerah, Shemayimru, Beis Yavamas, Havas, Mebeitecha, Mishavem. Because people say, oh, she was Mrs. Shimon. In people's eyes, since Shimon did Mimer, and there was a ceremony, a Mimer ceremony, people say, oh, she's Mrs. Shimon, and look, he's being Miyabim her and the other woman. Now, because what's wrong? Because you're not allowed to be Miyabim two wives from the same house. If Reuben dies and leaves two wives, you can only be Miyabim one. If here he's going to be Miyabim her as Mrs. Reuben, because biblically she is Mrs. Reuben, and he's going to be Miyabim the other wife, because he's Mrs. Shimon. People are going to say, Shimon left two wives, and he was Miyabim both. Because of Mimer. Mimer created that perception in people's eyes. Came along to Rabbanan and said, you know what? If that happens, no evil. No evil. Gezeira Shema Yaimru, Beis Yavamas, Habas Mi Beis Echad Mi Siyabas. Look, Rashi.
Rabbi Yitzchak.
I can't answer three people at a time. Yes, what's the question, Dr. Harris?
They disagree, they're afraid of what?
What would happen if Shimon is, Reuben is married to two wives and he dies?
No, you only take one. That's all
right. Okay. Now, in people's eyes, Reuben died, Shimon did Mimer.
So he's married to two wives now?
He's not married to two wives. There's no such thing biblically. Biblically, she's Mrs. Reuven. And Shimon's other wife is Mrs. Shimon. And biblically, Levi can do Yibum to Reuven's wife and to Shimon's wife. There's no reason why not.
You go on the assumption that Mimer doesn't accomplish it.
Again, according to the Rabbanan, Mimer is rabbinic. That means biblically, she's bound to Reuven and bound to only. And the other woman is bound to Shimon only. But because Shimon did Mimer, we don't allow Yibum. Practically, come on, why not? What are you worried about? The answer is, people will say Shimon was married to two wives, and he did Yibum to both. And that's not allowed. You're not giving the Gemara a chance. Your question's going to come from the Gemara. Yes, Dr. Harris, Dr. Brait.
I'm sorry, I think you answered. So if they were all brothers married to three different strange ladies, and two of them died, 100%. Who would be obligated? He would be obligated to the Yibum to Reuben's wife and to Shimon's wife.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct. So, Rashi, Izik Yishnei Yibam and Derayis of the Rabbanon Parach, so the Rabbanon. Elam and Rabbanon, the Derayis of Mimer Lekhani, the Derayis of Mimer is nothing. The Avalu Shnei Yibam is Mibayz Batim. One's coming from Reuben's house, one's coming from Shimon's house. But Tamayim Matzili Yibu make it, do Yibum to both. Rabbanon who the Gazru, Shema Yayim Rubayz Yibam is Abbas and Beis Echam is Yabma. It looks like he's been miyabim two yavamas from the same house. Frakta Gemara, miyabim lechada v'nachmas lechada. So why do we ban yibum from both? Let's tell Levi, be miyabim one, Can't be miyadim two. It'll look like you're taking two from the same house. Be miyadim one and give chalitza to the other. Dr. Gemara, Gzeira, Shema Yaimru, Bayis Echad, Miktasi Banui, or Miktasi Chalitz. They will think that every time somebody dies and leaves two wives, you have to do chalitza, you have to do something to both of them. Can't do yibum to both. You can do yibum to one and chalitza to the other. People will walk away with a misconception that you can't just do yibum or chalitza to one. That you have to do something to both.
So?
We don't want that misconception. It's not true.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Yes, it does. You can't marry a kayin if she has chalitza.
Well, suffic.
What do you mean suffic? A chalitza is asa to a kayin.
Right.
If you're going to give chalitza to the second one, she's going to become asa to a kayin.
Well, all the gazeers that we're doing...
The truth is, we're going to give both chalitza here too. Practicing Gemara, your class. What don't you understand?
I don't understand why he can't take one.
Practicing Gemara, v'yayimru. So what do we care if they say that? So what's wrong?
Again.
Let's step back. Yeah, I would just ask one thing, that I be able to explain myself before I'm interrupted, because it blocks the trends and I can't explain myself. The Gemara, the Mishnah said he has to give chalitza to both. We didn't allow yibum to both, because people will walk away with the wrong perception that two women that come from one house can get yibum, and that's not true. In fact, the Gemara says, do yibum to one and chalitza to the other. But the Gemara, people will say that if a person dies and leaves two wives, they both need to be taken care of. That even if you do yibum to one, you have to give chalitza to the other. And we don't want that. Correct the Gemara. V'yayimru. What do we care? Let them say. So let people say that if you do yibum to one, you still have to give chalitza to the other. So let them say. What's wrong if they say that? Nothing's going to come out bad. Dr. Gemara, you're right. Idim yibum v'hadar chalitz, hachinami. If he would do yibum first to one and then chalitza to the other, there would be nothing wrong. Alexeira duma chalitz bereish about the miyab. Once people walk away saying that you have to take care of both, they'll think, okay, what difference does it make if I give yibum to the first and chalitza to the second, or chalitza to the first and yibum to the second? And that's wrong, because once you give chalitza to one, you're not allowed to be miyab in the other one. It's allowed. So therefore, if we would say over here, yibum to one and chalitza to the other, people will say, oh, they came from Shimon's house, and he gave yibum to one and chalitza to the other. Oh, that's what you do when a person dies, when he leaves two wives. And then they'll invert the order, and do chalitza to one and yibum to the other, and that's us, to become and that's a lot, because the Torah said, once you didn't do yibum, you did chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum anymore. Not chorus, but it's a lav.
They're not afraid of him doing that in this case?
Again, over here we said you have to do chalitza to both.
Right,
no, we're not afraid of doing it here, because over here they're coming from two separate houses.
Right.
There would be no biblical violation.
Here he might do chalitza and then yibum.
That wouldn't hurt it here. They're two houses.
But then people might learn from here.
Exactly.
So why not just why didn't the Rabbanim just say that he has to do chalitza first?
Adarava, that makes the bigger problem. Again, people will walk away thinking that it doesn't make a difference. Not in this case. They'll take this to any other case if a person dies and leaves two wives. But he really leaves two wives.
And then they'll reverse the order?
And then they'll reverse the order. Because once people know you have to do something to both, they'll say, what difference does it make which order?
You always have to do, if you don't do yibum, you always have to do something to both.
No, you don't.
If you do
chalitza
to one, you don't have to do chalitza
to both. No. That was only we had weak chalitzas. With brothers and sisters and all kinds of things. If Reuben dies and leaves two wives, you give chalitza to one, the other one goes free.
Or you,
he was going with Chalitza. Yes, Dr. Harris. Okay.
We don't say that in those other cases, right?
What other case?
other kids with the weak chalitza, we don't say.
That was a weak chalitza, so we have to do chalitza to both.
Shimon, so
we're not in Reb Shimon now.
I just have a question.
Let me do Rashi first. Zok Rashi. Miktasi chalitz, v'asil ha-meimri b'beizhi v'amas ha-boas mi-beiz echad, chare mis-yabemes v'acheres chalitza. One gets yibum, the other one gets chalitza. Yes, what's your question?
Is his order dafka? Shimon says, mi-yabum ha-ezo and the chodex. Does he have to do it in that order?
I don't see why. According to Reb Shimon, yes, he has to do it in that order, of course. But if he gives chalitza to one, they might be both married to Shimon. Then he's not allowed to do Yibum.
If he does Yibum.
He does Yibum. So now, if she's Reuven's wife, he did Yibum to Reuven's wife. He gives chalitza to Shimon's wife. If she was Shimon's wife, he gave Yibum to one and chalitza to the other. But it's biblical according to him. But it's a suffix. You're right. There's a according to Reb Shimon, you have to fear that people will do it the wrong order. But listen, he didn't make that zera. Okay. I'm a Rabbah. Now, there's going to be two versions of Rabbah. Let me just explain this. Let me explain this. Let me take a few moments to explain. We're going in our Mishnah. Reuven died. Shimon did Maimer. Now, before Shimon died, he gave a get for his Maimer. Now, when Shimon writes this rabbinic get to Reuven's wife, he did a rabbinic Maimer, and now he's writing a rabbinic get. He can write that get two ways. He can write the get and say, I want to remove the mimer that I did. I want everything else to remain as was, but I want to remove the mimer. Just like I placed the mimer rabbinically, I now want to remove that mimer rabbinically. That's one way he can write the get. The other way he can write the get is, I want to write you a get that will remove the mimer, but also make it impossible more than that. Like, what would happen if Reuven would die and Shimon gave Reuven's wife a get without doing a mimer? It weakens the bond. It makes a weaker bond to Shimon, to Reuven's wife, rabbinically. So he can write the get and weaken that bond, or he can write the get and leave the bond alone, just remove the mimer. Again, I want to explain this. When Reuven made a mimer, which he is rabbinic, he can write a get two ways. One way he says, I just want to remove the mimer. But I don't want to affect the bond that exists. I'm not trying to weaken the bond. I'm just removing what I did. I made a positive, I'm now removing the positive. Everything back to the way it was.
Delete.
Or he can give a get that not only removes the mimer, but also weakens, rabbinically weakens, the bond to Reuven's wife.
That,
he can give a get without having done mimer.
Is that for her benefit or for his benefit?
But no, I don't know why he did it. He did it no longer allowed to do Yibum.
No one. None of the brothers.
None of the brothers. But he can give a get two ways. He doesn't have to give a get for the Zika. He can just write a get to delete the mimer.
But it doesn't release your
Doraisa. The get and mimer don't work Doraisa at all. Again, I haven't said anything. I just said the facts. He can write a get two ways. That's all I said. It's all rabbinic, nothing biblical here. Okay, now, Reuven died. Shimon did mimer. Shimon gave a get to his mimer. He wrote specifically, this get is only to remove the mimer. Then Shimon dies. Can Shimon's wife get Yibum from Levi? Had he not written the get, We would not allow Shimon's wife to get Yibum from Levi, because Shimon is partially married to Reuven's wife, right? So we said we can't let one have Yibum. That's what the Mishnah said. Again, in the first Shita, in the Tanakhama, who said that when Reuven dies and Shimon had done Maimer, and then Shimon died, no Yibum to either. That's what he had said.
If you look back into the history, or if you look back...
We only look at the moment of death. So, what's the halacha vis-a-vis Levi doing Yibum to Shimon's wife? That's the question at hand. Again, Reuven died, Shimon made a mimer, Shimon wrote a get to his mimer. He wrote a get removing his mimer. Now, Shimon dies. At this point, there's no mimer. It was deleted. So it goes back to as if Shimon never made a mimer. But that's because the get was only for his mimer. We'll see what happens if he wrote the get differently. But he wrote the get only for his mimer. Sukti Gemara. Amarava. Nothing get l'mamarai. Hutra Teresa. If Shimon gives a get to the mimer he made to Reuven's wife, and then he dies, Shimon's wife can have Yibum. Avo, he, Asura. But Levi cannot be Miyabim Reuven's wife. Even though, why not? There's no mimer. It's gone. There's no get, because the get just removed the mimer. The michlev of the Baal's get. Because had Shimon given a get for more than the mimer, remember we say he can write the get two ways? Had he written the get that said to Shimon, to Reuven's wife, you are divorced, I'm weakening, then no brother can do Yibum anymore. He didn't do it in this case. In this case, he only wrote a get to remove his mimer. He did not write a get to weaken the bond. But since had he written a get to weaken the bond, he would not have been able to do, Levi would not be able to do Yibum. We say, there's a get, we don't allow Yibum. There's a get, we don't allow Yibum. That's the halacha of Rava. Again, Reuven died. Shimon made a mimer. Shimon deleted his mimer and then died. Well, as far as Levi is concerned, Mrs. Shimon is the only woman falling from Shimon's house. Mrs. Reuven has no shaychus to Shimon anymore. The get removes that. Therefore, Levi can do Yibum to Shimon's wife. Now he has to go back to Reuven's wife. She hasn't been taken care of yet. See, really, he can do Yibum to Reuven's wife. There was no get given to weaken the bond that would ban any brother from doing Yibum. The get was just to delete the mimer. But had the get been written to weaken the Zika, the bond, it would have banned Levi from Mimer. So we're afraid to allow Yibum, because then you have to start looking exactly how the get was written. We don't want to have to get involved in that. Yes,
Rabbi.
Sir.
That could also not just cancel the Mimer, but go further and cancel
correct.
The Zika.
It depends on the wording of the get. He can write a get to just delete the mimer, or he can write a get to rabbinically weaken the bond. And if he does that, Levi can't do Yibum.
Oh, so the whole thing is really only rabbinic to cancel
the whole thing get is rabbinic. Yes, Harvey.
I'm asking about this very subject. Have we had this before? I don't understand how one can write a get, which is rabbinic, to affect the bond. The bond is whatever the bond is, isn't it biblical? I just don't even understand the concept that someone has the power to write a get that affects something that has not necessarily been, we don't even know if it's there or not, but if it is, it is.
Let me try to explain it to you. Reuven dies. He has three brothers. Any one of those brothers can do Yibum or Chalitza. Let's say one of the brothers wants to make it that no one else should be able to do Yibum or Chalitza except for him. So he can give a mimer, which is rabbinic. But what it does is, rabbinically says to the other brothers, you're out. Gone. Goodbye. It's rabbinic. Biblically speaking, they have as much right as they had before. But by doing mimer, the Rabbanan allowed him, gave him the power, to exclude all other brothers. That's one way he can do it. The other way the Rabbanan said is if he writes a divorce. Now, biblically, that divorce is worthless. There's no divorce by Yavama. But the Rabbanan said if he writes a get, rabbinically speaking, he removes the right of Yibum from the whole family. No one can do Yibum anymore. Rabbinically. Now, why would a guy do this? Very simply, his brother was a multimillionaire. He doesn't want to marry his brother's wife, but he doesn't want anybody else to marry his brother's wife either, because he wants to get part of the Yerusha. So he quickly writes a rabbinic get, which now will ban any brother from doing Yibum, force the issue that has to be Chalitza, and then he'll get a chelik of the Yerusha. Whereas if he'd not written the get, one of his brothers might have married her and walked away with the $10 million, and that's not what he wanted.
I understand
the power of a get, rabbinically, to ban the act of Yibum from anybody of the other brothers. So now, Shimon did a mimer, and at that point, he's rabbinically partially married to her. Then he wrote a get. Now, he can write a get two ways. He can write a get that says, delete my mimer, as if I did nothing. And then she's exactly the way she was before anything was done. And biblically, Levi would be able to do yibum to her, because whatever was done by Shimon has been removed. Or Shimon can write a get that not only removes the mimer, but rabbinically bans Levi from doing yibum. The wording of his get...
I understand these two different types of gets you're describing. I just must have been asleep during the daf where we explained the first type of get that removes the other brothers. I don't know how long ago that was, but it just seems startling to me, which obviously it shouldn't be, so I apologize.
Yes, sir.
Does the advertisement of intention have biblical consequences?
That's exactly what
he's doing over here.
This is all rabbinic here.
I understand.
There's no biblical consequence to anything.
But he's making known his intentions. It says it in the get. The
wording of the get says either this get is only to remove Mimer, or this get is even to weaken Zika.
Maybe we had another case where he was on the train to go give... do Yibum or give Chalitza. I mean, there was something to that as well, where he was on the way, right? He's showing his intention. So that
again, here the intention is written out.
That's what I'm saying, right? So I'm saying, could that actually have an effect on
this? Not biblically, only rabbinically. Yes, Rabbi Schutz.
What we had with the Rishasha about 5 months ago, that he gave a mimer, and afterwards he gives a get. Does it revert to the original status, and now the get doesn't have to record, and the mimer also doesn't?
Well, that's what we say, if he wrote the get only for the mimer.
We said that in Rashi.
Could be, but that's only if he wrote it just for the mimer.
So if he didn't write it just for the mimer, it would actually pass.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Somebody writes a get only to the Yavama.
Correct.
Does that have any impact on his own real wife?
He no longer, nobody can ever do Yibam to her.
His own wife.
What do you mean?
There's three brothers, strangers, whatever. And the first brother dies. Instead of doing mime or anything, he gives her a get. So now he dies. His own wife, his real wife, does she get his
I don't think so. No. No.
What's here's the... I don't understand.
We will stop over here, and we will continue mentioning tomorrow.